Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray my brothers and my sisters who are tuned in today to the broadcast, I pray that your day has been filled with joy and excitement and that you have allowed yourself to just spread love to someone or several people in your day today, to just share love. And of course, we know that love to be God's love, agape love. Listen to what the scripture tells us about love. The first and great commandment is love. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, I'll read it this way. You shall love the Lord your God, talking about you, all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this is a love language, a commandment from God to us, that we are to love Him first, and then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So I pray that you have allowed love to go before you in your day as you journey through this land that we call Earth, as we journey through looking for ways to spread the love of God on others. This is our work. Jesus came to save, and we are here to spread his love amongst the people. So if you haven't been with us in the past weeks, I encourage you to go back and listen to the broadcast concerning this teaching series, the Ingredients of Agape Love. It has been a blessing to our souls, as Minister Harold Copeland has just laid out his heart concerning the ingredients of agape love, concerning the love language, which we know is the scriptures that shed and bring to light the very language that God wants us to learn and to exemplify, and that is L-O-V-E, love. My brothers and my sisters, I encourage you, once you come to a full understanding of what and who love is, then everything else concerning scripture, concerning holiness, sanctification, justified by what Jesus did on the cross, it will all come to a simple understanding. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to us, as he did with me, when he revealed to me the simplicity of love. I want to read it in this way, and we'll look at some scriptures today that shows us what love continues to be in scripture. And this is from Genesis to Revelation. love is shown as a beautiful tapestry through Scripture. But listen to what we've expressed. When I say we've, Minister Harold Copeland and myself, we've read over the 7 parts to this teaching series. We've read scriptures, expressed scriptures, and illustrating scripture, and in illustrating love through these scriptures of how important it is for us to exemplify love. And love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So love seeks the highest good of others. And this is what Scripture talks about. This is what Jesus did as he went through his ministry. It seeks the highest good of others. Love is not based on emotions or feelings. And Brother Copeland expressed that in the past series, in the past parts to this series. Love is not based on emotions, our emotions, or how we feel at the moment toward that person or for somebody. It is a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. Now, that speaks volume to me. And I hope it does to you too, as we understand the simplicities of love. It is a decision, meaning you have decided, I have decided to be committed to the well-being of another without any conditions, not looking for anything in return. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's a familiar scripture that we know being John 3:16. Now, Brother Harold has, and I have read that scripture ever since we started this teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love. And the launch pad, as Brother Copeland would say, is John 3:16 as well as 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And we know that God gave his son to the world. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. We will not perish as long as we give our heart and we surrender our life and we learn how to do good works, meaning having a heart of a servant, a servant's heart to others, we shall not perish because we believe by faith and we are saved by God's amazing grace. Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now this is Jesus telling us to remain in his love, that we aren't to dismiss his love when we believe or feel, there we go with those emotions again, when we feel we've got it all together. And then when turbulence comes in our life, or a hurdle that we can't seem to get over, meaning jump over, then when the hindrances of life come to us, somehow we want to tap into the love of God because of our hindrance or our obstacle or our hurdle that we can't seem to get over. But when the road is smooth, then we turn that love off. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the kind of love that triggers our feelings or our emotions. Well, I feel I can handle things now, and I don't really need God to help me with this. Things seem to be going smoothly for me at this point in time of my life or during this season of my life, and I think I've got everything under my control. And then just as soon as a bump in the road comes or gets in the way, then that love for God is turned back on. This is not unconditional love. Now, remain in my love is what Scripture tells us, is what Jesus said. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So we don't turn on God's love when things are running smoothly, or I'm sorry, when things are running chaotic. And then we turn God's love off when things are running smoothly. Listen to the scripture. And here's another one that just really sets things in place. And this is what Jesus said, according to John 15 and a few verses after John 15, 9. Let's drop down to John 15, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." So Jesus calls us friends. And it says, greater love has no one than this, that we lay our lives down for a friend. And what does that mean? We put things aside in order to render help to a friend or be there for a friend or encourage a friend when they are down in the dumps or when things may not seen well with them, or when they've lost someone and you walk alongside them to be an encouragement, to build them up and encourage them along the way. And sometimes you don't even have to be a friend with words, meaning verbally. You can just be there and listen to them. Sometimes they need, or we need, to just vent and release some of the anxiety or anxiousness that might be within us, and we just need a good listener. That's love. When you can be there or lay your life down, meaning move things out of the way in order to just sit with them, walk with them, listen to them, cry with them. That is a friend. And Jesus said, if you do what I command, if we do what he commands by way of the Holy Spirit, we're his friend. And we're his friend because we obey what he says. Now, we're talking about the Word of God, Jesus' voice. Let's read 1 John 4, 1 John 4 and walk with me and move down to verse 7. And we're going to read 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, isn't that interesting in the scripture that those who love has been born of God? Now, it's not this worldly type of love. This is a type of love that has already been expressed, what I said in the beginning. This love, it's not based on our emotions or feelings. Well, I don't feel like I love that person today. Or, well, I'm caught up in my feelings today, so I'm not feeling it today. No, it's not that at all. Don't get it misconstrued, or don't get it, as some young people would say, twisted. Because the enemy can cause us to take this world's view of love and get it so twisted and messed up that it diverts our thinking from what God's word says love is. Decision that we've made, not a feeling, but a decision we've made to be committed to the well-being of others. And this is the big word, without looking for anything in return, my brothers or my sisters, without expecting anything back from those who we've done something for, or who we've given to, or who we've laid aside time for. Meaning, we're not expecting anything in return. This type of mindset, well, I did something for you, so you should do something for me in return. No, 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 and no. This is not love, agape love, unconditional love. Again, it's a decision that you have made, which usually is coming from your heart, to where you can honestly say, I do not want anything from you. I'm not expecting anything from you because of what I've done for you. I do not want anything in return. This is a love from my heart, and this is how I have chosen to operate, meaning live my life out without any condition or circumstances tied to what you have done for that individual. Whoever, now I'm back at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not, listen closely, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, it can't get any simpler than that. It can't get any plainer to our understanding. Whoever does not love does not know God. Now, it's a decision. When we have chosen not to love, then we're fooling ourselves. We are fooling ourselves because God is love. So search yourself search your heart, search your mind, search your actions, and determine whether or not you love in the manner that he first loved you. Back in the verses of 1 John 4, this is how God showed his love among us. Amen. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, how can we live through him? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Praise the Lord. Let's back up before I read any further in these verses. Let's back up to where it says, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us first. How do we live through him? And this is when we have given our life to Christ, meaning that we have confessed that we are a sinner, that God does not owe us anything, and we cannot give him anything. The only thing that we can give God is that we totally surrender ourselves to him in humility and humbleness. And when we surrender our life to him with a whole heart, not half-hearted, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. So when we come to him with humbleness of heart and we bow down to him and we surrender ourselves to him and confess that we are sinners, and when we believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross, remember, he gave begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. So God gave us his Son, Jesus, on the cross. And because of what he did on the cross, he covered our sin forever. And he did this because he first loved us. This is the type of love, the kind of love, agape love, unconditionally. He freely gave us his Son, the perfect sacrificial lamb, unblemished, spotless. And he died on that old rugged cross for the sin of the world. Now, for us to live through him, we have to first surrender to him, that he will come into us, and we know that to be the Holy Spirit, sitting on the throne of our heart, because with a whole heart and an humble spirit, you have now given your life to Christ. And you did that willingly on your own, not coerced by anybody. This was your own free will, meaning you made a sound decision to come to the feet of Jesus in all humility and in all reverence to him. And you threw up your hands with all surrender, and you say to him, "Lord, here I am. I come to you as and with nothing." Because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross, his blood covered my sins. And Lord, I have done so much wrong. But here I am. I am at your feet, crying out to you to set up throne of my heart. I believe by faith what you've done for me. And I know that you have been pursuing me, and I've been running away from you one day, 1 hour, 1 minute too long. Lord, I finally give up. I'm tired of running from you. And I surrender. I give in. You are my Lord. And I want to be your son, your daughter. Here I am, Lord. And please come into me, that I would be a child of light and not a child of darkness. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, needing a Savior. Needing a Savior. I was on a road of destruction. That road is wide, Lord, as you know. And I was running on that wide road of destruction. But here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, asking that you would clean me up, sit on the throne of my heart as I surrender it all to you. Every circumstance, every problem, every situation, what I can't fix, you can fix. Set my feet on the straight and narrow path. Help me, Lord, to lean not to my own understanding. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, my brother and my sister, I pray that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. This was the day that God has made for you to give your life, your heart, your just surrender to God. He set aside this day for you to do that. And it is our prayer, my brothers and my sisters, that you have prayed alongside me for someone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we just trust and believe that you've done that you're done procrastinating, that you're done putting things aside for when I get around to it. No, today today is that day. And we just encourage you, Mission from the Heart, Brother Copeland and I, that we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, that you would be led to a small group Bible study to be discipled, and that you would grow and go in grace, that you would eat of the meat of the word and drink of the living water, that God has done a new thing in you. You are a new creation, born again this day. And we are so excited. The angels are rejoicing that you have given your life to Christ today. And this is the most beautiful thing that we can do in our life, to know we are heaven bound. And just knowing that the scripture reveals to us that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a promise. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to waver in your faith. You can stand firm on the love of God. And through the love letters of the Bible, this is what builds us and strengthens us as we journey through this barren land. That you would be a living testimony to a sin-sick world that we live in. A living testimony. That you would testify to your salvation. Testify to who lives inside you. Testify to the blessings and the miracles that take place. Testify to the truth of the Word of God in the Bible. This is the testimony of the saints. This is the testimony of the believers in Christ Jesus. He never promised it would be easy, but it's worth it. And as you deepen your walk through Scripture, you'll read the testimony of Paul, the testimony of the disciples as they were martyred because of the living word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. He died on that rugged cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose on the third day. He rose. So he conquered the grave. And this is the same for us. Yes, we have to die. And yes, we will lay this body down. And yes, we will rise. We will get up one day. So praise God for you giving your life to Christ. I'm excited. I am just rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in spirit that you have definitely done the right thing. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. So let's continue to look at our scripture. Let's continue to look at the love letters in the Bible. The love letters of life is what I like to call it, the Bible. And we're still in 1 John chapter 4. And I'll pick back up in the verse, in those verses. And I just wanted to bring out how we might live through him. Now that we have him in us by way of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is our light. Scriptures tell us that we are the light of the world. Jesus is the true light, the ultimate light. We are his lights of the world. Think about it in the sense of a Christmas tree. Jesus sits up high on top as the bright light, and then all the other illuminating lights on the tree. Those are the saints, us, the believers, and we are to shine bright like a city on a hill, testifying about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so now we live through him. Is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Hallelujah. Think about it, my brothers and my sisters. Think about it. All about love. And I remember a song by Tina Turner. The lyrics or the title of that song, and you may or may not know that song, but the title of that song was made famous, sold lots of albums, and the title of that particular song is What Love Got to Do with It. And the lyrics sounded good to the beat of the music. And if you grew up during a generation when I did, just listening or jamming to that song was all about the movement of the beat, not really understanding the lyrics of the song. But I understand now that I have been born again, transformed, conformed to the renewing of my mind according to Scripture, submitting to the Holy Spirit, love has everything to do with it. Everything. Because we have made a decision to commit to the well-being of others without looking for anything in return. Now that's major. That's big. And it is challenging from time to time. Loving the unlovable can be challenging, but it's worth it. Loving unconditionally can be challenging, but it's worth it. Remember, you didn't used to be as lovable as you should have been. God loved you first. And we can be unlovable sometimes. So, because we were born in sin, It was natural for us to be self-centered. It was natural for us to say, my way or the highway. It was natural for us to not share as little toddlers. It was natural for us to want what we did not deserve. Now that we are born again, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Now that he has come into us, now that we have been made complete, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And we have to work out our soul salvation, meaning saturate ourselves in the Word of God so that we can continue to grow and go in grace. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal, to teach us, to show us, and to convict us, a disciplinary measure. When we are not in sync with who lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit goes to work. Not that he sleeps or slumbers, because remember, he is God. But we can have tendencies to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that means God grieving over us because we are disobeying him. Willingly disobeying him. And he grieves. And that is what we do not want to do. So, we are made complete. And we know this by faith. We know this with assurance because of the Holy Spirit, God himself, living in each one of us who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they have no doubting in their mind, in their speech, or in their actions that they are a child of God. We have a blessed assurance. So, again, in 1 John 4, it says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Now, that deserves a hallelujah praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And if you listen to this complete series, you would hear the excitement of Minister Copeland. He gets excited, comes through him, concerning the love of our Creator, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is love. And he loved us first. So, let's look at some other scripture. And if you would, make note of these scriptures, because you can go back during your private study time and just refresh yourself or even just encourage yourself. Now, keep in mind, these scriptures are an encouragement, not just to you, but they are an encouragement to someone else. Now, you may be listening to these verses or listening to this teaching series concerning the ingredients of agape love, but I can rest assured you, my brother and my sister, these verses are definitely not only just for you, but also for someone else. God's word is to be tattooed on our heart. Yes. God's word is to be studied and meditate upon daily. Yes. But most of all, God's word is to be ministered like a medication daily. Yes. As a medication to stay healthy, spiritually healthy, and for us to dispense like a medication, the way a pharmacist dispenses our medication for high blood pressure or for diabetes or whatever our medical condition might be physically, this spiritual medication is to be dispensed daily, that someone would be made whole, meaning give their life to Christ, that someone would be revived. Maybe they're just worn out, don't have enough energy to just call on the name of Jesus, and you give them a word of encouragement from the scripture. And that is the very verse or passage or Bible story that they needed to hear, my brother, my sister, in order to be revived, reignited, to run for Jesus. That this word is alive. It is a breathing word that lives from Genesis to Revelation. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you would read with me verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Eagerly. Let's read that again. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. I just made mention of using these verses or passages or even a Bible story as a medication for a brother or a sister who may need to be revived. That the weight has been so heavy on them in some way, shape, or form that the Holy Spirit moves you in your heart to get up and do something and help this person, this weak brother or sister, also known as the flock of God. You shepherd them. Shepherd them in a way to where you are ministering the very word of God that revives them. According to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not out of obligation, not out of job duty as a title in a job description with the sense of a micromanager. No, this is love. And remember, we have made a decision to be committed to the well-being of the flock of God, the believers in Christ Jesus, the body of Christ, the saints among us. Conditions. Not looking for anything in return, my brothers and my sisters. Willingly. That's love. Not for dishonest gain. What can I get out of it? What have you done for me lately? No. Don't miss the point of love. Eagerly, willingly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. You don't lord over someone, micromanaging someone, carrying a big stick, putting fear in someone, as if you are a dictator over them. No, that's improper. That's certainly not love. Verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Remember we read verses in the very beginning of this broadcast on how Jesus exemplified love. He exemplified love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And he tells us, now remain in my love. When Jesus' ministry started, he did not beat us over the head, if you will. He just loved on us. He loved on everybody. Even though they tried to take him down, they tried to take him out, they tried to do everything that they thought they could to shut Jesus down as he ministered in his ministry. But all he did was come to serve and not be served. He came to love because he first loved us. So, verse 3 and 1 Peter 5, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, just as Jesus. And when the chief shepherd appears, and we know the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our crown. And I've heard it this way: no cross, no crown. When we do not bear the cross in a sense to where we are going through the tests of life, and those can be some challenges in our spiritual walk, being tested by God. But the test builds faith. The test builds endurance. The test builds the spiritual body of the believers. The test draws us in to God. The test keeps us close to Him. The test keeps us anchored in Christ. Test keeps us sure-footed on a solid foundation, the Word of God. But the test of God is His love for us. Because He says, as we go through these tests, according to His divine purpose, He says He will never leave us nor forsake us, because He promised that He will bring us through it according to His scripture. Why? Because according to verse 4 in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, when the chief shepherd appears, that means He's coming back. He's coming back for the church. We are the church, the believers in Christ Jesus, the body of Christ. We are the church. And when Jesus returns and the trumpet sounds, we will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah is the highest praise. And we sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thank you for the crown of glory. So I hope you are just giving a shout out of praise to God right now, glorifying Him right now with your voice, maybe with a hand clap. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Express your love for Him. Remember, He loved you first. This is the amazing love of God, that He loved us so much that He gave His Son, Jesus, He gave us His Son, Jesus. My brother and my sister, I pray and hope that you have gotten a simplistic understanding of what love and who love is. We know Him to be Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. He is our chief shepherd, the bright and morning star. He is Emmanuel, love, walking on 2 feet. Yes, He did. Jesus, when He came to show us how to get it together. So my brother and my sister, I pray and hope that this has been an encouragement to you to have tuned in today on this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, further getting a simplistic understanding of the ingredients of agape love. And the ingredients that we went over today in this particular part 8 of this wonderful teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love, we looked at love exemplified by Jesus Christ, understanding that it's a decision that we have made, you have made, to be committed to the well-being of others without looking for anything back, anything in return, not by obligation, compulsion, or lording over others in order for you to receive something in return, or appearing to be a taskmaster, lording over them, beating it over them. No. This is a willingness and an eagerness to want to love on others because he first loved you. Before the foundation of the earth, he loved you. He fashioned you in the womb of your mother. He loved you. He created you in his image. He loved you. He promises precept upon precept from Genesis to Revelation. He promises that you will be with him. He loves you. And he said that you will have eternal life. He loves you. He said that he loved you so much that your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. God loves you. That you will, not might, that you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. He loves you. My brothers and my sisters, I pray that you have prayed with somebody, that you have labored in love with someone. That love comes in many of colors, but love also covers a multitude of sin. We focus on the love for others, to others, and in others. Why? Because he first loved us. This brings us to the end of this broadcast today. And this love thing is serious. And I pray and hope, take love. You love love, and you share love from this day forward. Always remember, my brothers and my sisters, that the grass withers and the flowers, oh yes, they do fade away from season to season. But always remember that the word of God, it remains forever and ever. God bless you and spread the love of God from the north to the south, to the east, to the west. And may he continue to richly bless you.